News translation of the Bible. Elisha and the rich woman from Shunem. One day Elisha went to Shunem, where a rich woman lived. She invited him to a meal, and from then on, every time he went to Shunem, he would have his meals at her house. She said to her husband, "I'm sure that this man who comes here so often is a holy man. Let's build a small room on the roof, put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp in it, and he can stay there whenever he visits us." One day Elisha returned to Shunem and went up to his room to rest. He told his servant Gehazi to go and call the woman. When she came, he said to Gehazi, "Ask her what I can do for her in return for all the trouble she has had in providing for our needs. Maybe she would like me to go to the king or the army commander, put in a good word for her. I have all I need here among my own people," she answered. Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can I do for her then?" He answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is an old man. Tell her to come here," Elisha ordered. She came and stood in the doorway, and Elisha said to her, "By this time next year, you will be holding a son in your arms." "Oh," she exclaimed, "please, sir, don't lie to me. You are a man of God." But, as Elisha had said, at about that time the following year, she gave birth to a son.
Continuing. Some years later, at harvest time, the boy went out one morning to join his father, who was in the field with the harvest workers. Suddenly, he cried out to his father, "My head hurts, my head hurts." "Carry the boy to his mother," the father said to the servant. The servant carried the boy back to his mother, who held him in her lap until noon, at which time he died. She carried him up to Elisha's room, put him on the bed and left, closing the door behind her. Then she called her husband and said to him, "Send a servant here with a donkey. I need to go to the prophet Elisha. I'll be back as soon as I can." "Why do you have to go today?" her husband asked. "It's neither a Sabbath nor a new moon festival." "Never mind," she answered. Then she had the donkey saddled and ordered the servant, "Make the donkey go as fast as it can, and don't slow down unless I tell you to." So she set out and went to Mount Carmel, where Elisha was. Elisha saw her coming while she was still some distance away, and he said to his servant, "Gehazi, look, here comes the woman from Shunem. Hurry to her and find out if everything is all right with her, her husband, and her son." She told Gehazi that everything was all right. But when she came to Elisha, she bowed down before him and took hold of his feet. Gehazi was about to push her away, but Elisha said, "Leave her alone. Can't you see she's deeply distressed? And the Lord has not told me a thing about it." The woman said to him, "Sir, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I tell you not to get my hopes up?" Elisha turned to Gehazi and said, "Hurry, take my walking stick and go. Don't stop to greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, don't take time to answer. Go straight to the house and hold my stick over the boy." The woman said to Elisha, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So the two of them started back together. Gehazi went on ahead and held Elisha's stick over the child, but there was no sound or any other sign of life. So he went back to meet Elisha and said, "The boy did not wake up." When Elisha arrived, he went alone into the room and saw the woman lying dead on the bed. He closed her. Then he lay down on the boy, placing his mouth, eyes, and hands on the boy's mouth, eyes, and hands. As he lay stretched out over the boy, the boy's body started to get warm. Elisha got up, walked around the room, and then went back and again stretched himself over the boy. The boy sneezed 7 times and then opened his eyes. Elisha called Gehazi and told him to call the boy's mother. When she came in, he said to her, "Here's your son." She fell at Elisha's feet with her face touching the ground. Then she took her son.
Lord, we ask you to help us to understand that reading and to see how it might affect us on a day-to-day basis. Lord, speak your word for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for letting me come back yet again. I'm sure one day you'll get fed up. You don't have to sort of say yes, but and I appreciate that. It is a long reading, isn't it? And so we'll dig into it and see how it talks to us. I think somewhere along the line you've been looking at Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. Oh, good. So they follow on. And if you've done something in Elijah, I'll just refer back to an episode in 1 Kings 17, which is a very similar experience that Elijah had with a lady and her son. So this isn't the first time this type of happened. Let me just sort of try to get things in a little bit of perspective and just see where you think you might be, where Shunem is. And then who knows where Shunem is? Yeah, what?
The Middle East.
Well, that's narrowed it down somewhat. Thank you for that. I'll narrow it down a little bit more. It's in the northern kingdom, which of Israel. So because the kingdom of Israel split into Israel and Judah, Israel was in the north, Judah was in the south, Israel in the north became less God-orientated than Judah in the south. And so in the area around in the north, there was much more of atheist, paganism, pluralism, and types of other than centering on God. That's the first point. The other point is that Shunem was about 50 miles. Hang on, I'll just give you east and west. East of Mount Carmel. All right? Mount Carmel. So Mount Carmel was there, Shunem was there, and just north of Shunem was Nazareth. And you all know where and what Nazareth was about. Yeah, good. So this long passage, and because you're thinking about Elijah and then Elisha, yes, this passage tells us a little bit about the work and life of Elisha. And yet, to me, as I read it, Elisha is not the centre of attention. He's not the main focus on this passage. For me, it looked as if surely the main focus was actually on the woman, the Shunammite woman, rather than Elisha. And I think also, as I read it through, and I thought, thanks very much for giving me this passage to think about. And is it just a story? Is it just an episode in Elisha's life? Then I looked at it again and I thought about it. And it struck me that it's actually quite a prophetic passage. Now, whether you feel that, I don't know. You may by the time I've finished, I don't know that either. But here we find that this woman and the family and her husband, yes, they were wealthy. They owned property, fields, and so on. And it was in this region of low reverence to God. There weren't so many people that believed in the God of Abraham, etc. Our God that we believe and trust. And yet, this group, this family, this wife, husband, certainly the wife, she was a believer in God. She was a reverent person. She was honoring God in so many ways. And so when Elisha, this itinerant prophet, was wandering around coming from Mount Carmel, going across Israel to see Galilee and all of that area in the Jordan, and wandering backwards and forwards in his ministry, every time he passed through this village or town of Shunem, she invited him in for a meal. That's how it started, and you know, that was great. He came in, he had a meal, and then he carried on. Where he slept, I don't know. But then she said to her husband, here's this man of God. He keeps passing through one way and then coming back and the other. Let's just make a room on top of our house. And in those days, the roofs were flat. They went to the town council and asked for planning permission and built on the flat roof another room with the stairs outside, probably. So that she said, when he came next time, she said, look, we built you this room. Please stay overnight. You make it comfortable, not just for a meal, but stay overnight, refresh yourself, and then move on as you need to. And so he did, and he kept coming backwards and forwards, passing by and staying. So this woman was a hospitable woman, recognized Elisha as a man of God, and gave part of her house as a sanctuary for him. And in response, we read here that Elisha thought, this is a wonderful lady who has been very generous. What can I do? What can we do? What can God do for her? And we notice here also when he got his servant Gehazi to speak to the woman. And the lady said, no need to do anything. I've got everything I need. I'm quite content. God has blessed me in many ways. What do I need? I'm doing this for love of God. I don't need anything. But it troubled Elisha. What do I do for you? What can I do for you? Gehazi said, well, the only thing that I can think of is that she hasn't got a son. And her husband is old. What significance that is always debatable as we get older. But there's a point where, especially in those days, if you didn't have a son, you didn't have an heir, who would inherit the family business, the family farm, if and when her husband died? That's the significance of old age, perhaps. But yeah, if he's dying, or if he dies, what happens to the inheritance? She would be left destitute, could she not be? Because it wouldn't hand down to her. So having a son was quite an important factor. And so Elisha said to her, this time next year you'll be holding a son in your arms. And her reaction was, as we heard, don't mess me about, mate. I'm not going to be lied to. You know, don't wind me up and think that here I am with a husband that's getting on a bit. Then I'm going to have a son at my age. Don't mess me about. But we then read that, yeah, another visit later on, a year or so later, or thereabouts, she was holding a son. And she was pleased and blessed God because of it. Now, as I read that, and then we'll carry on the reading, and I'll come to further bits about it in a moment, but it struck me that this is also prophetic. Now we come to why. Well, you've gone too fast. Go back. But see, I haven't got a clicker. But thank you. But yeah, this is where it becomes, as we look at the lady and this prophetic side of it, because my lateral thinking is that we're looking at this lady in Shunem, but drift forward from then about 800 years. And this is where we'll come to it in a moment. But what happened 800 years later? Well, we'll come to it, but let's see what this lady in Shunem was about. As I've said, she was a devout woman, a woman who welcomed the prophet, the messenger of God, into her house. Built a room. Because when we see the next bit, she made room for God. Literally, she made a room on the top of her house. Well, she got her husband and family and their servants to do it. But she built a room, she made room for God. Albeit the messenger of God. But her attention was on God. And so made a room for the itinerant prophet Elisha. And then we see that here was a woman that at the end was willing to do as God said. She was content with all that she'd got, but gave herself to God and allowed God to do his will. And that included a surprise by God. She was surprised by God's provision. Because she didn't ask for a son. She didn't ask for a son. And yet, she was blessed by a son. But of course, that was great. She was blessed by a son. She no doubt rejoiced in the truthfulness of Elijah's prophecy that you would have a son. And by, perhaps when this child grew up, he might have been sort of 8, 9, 10. He went out on this, in the harvest time, in the sunshine of the harvest, to his dad out in the fields. And then what we read is that he got to the field and complained of headaches. Severe headaches that he just couldn't cope. So the dad got a servant to take him back home. And as the woman cradled her son, we read that he died. And so we then see a woman bereft at the death of her son. What do I do? What could she do? She reflects back in her mind for however many years it was when Elisha said you'd have a son. What would your reaction be? What has been your reaction to such a thing? Well, there's two ways of looking at it, isn't it? Here she could have easily said, blow this for a game. I'm not having God anymore. I'm walking away from God. I'm going to dismantle the room so if Elisha ever comes again, I've had enough. I'm not going to bother about it. He gives me a son and then he takes a son away. No, I'm not. But that's not what she did. What we see is here was a woman still devout to God who went to seek God's help. She went to seek God's help. And in going, I don't know how far, how far it was, about 50 miles. Now, if you're going on a donkey, 50 miles, a sort of hot midday sun, if she placed the child on Elijah's bed upstairs, got her husband to bring a donkey, her husband said, why do you want to go to Carmel to see Elisha? It's not a Sabbath day, not a holy day. Did you know the paganism bit here? It's not a new moon. It's not the time to worship the moon. Why are you going to go? Don't you worry about that, hubby boy. I know what I'm doing and I'll be back as soon as I can. All right? It appears that she didn't even say, your son's dead. She went direct as fast as her little donkey would take her to see Elisha. And there's another little bit in there. Elisha, as he's sitting in on Mount Carmel doing whatever, he sees this woman on a donkey. To me, it suddenly recognised her as I was sitting there listening to her. that isn't we got a story, a parable, a thought from Jesus about what was classed as the prodigal son, where the father is looking out and waiting for the son to come. And here is Elisha looking out. Is there not a sort of prophetic little bit in there? And when the Elisha sees the woman, he says to Gehazi, the servant, go and find out what's the matter. Check that she's all right. There's something wrong. Go and find out what's the matter with her. Is it something with the husband? Is it the child all right? But we also notice here that the woman says to Gehazi, all right, don't worry. She did not want to speak to an intermediary. She wanted to speak to God, as it were. She wanted to speak to the man of God, not somebody in between. And we have a privilege, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the privilege. We don't need to talk to somebody else. We can talk direct to our Lord God. And this is what the woman did. And she came to Elisha. She explained what was going on. Don't mess me. You mess me about and there he's dead. My son. And Elisha immediately sent Gehazi to try to resolve. But she wouldn't have any of it. She said, no, you've got to come. And so they went. And we read about what happened. And her son was brought back to life. So, that's then. Slip forward 800 years, if you would, in your minds. And we look at the prophecy. And we look at the comparison. From what we see 800 years later is another devout woman living in the same area of the northern kingdom of Israel. And yes, we see Mary. And what do we see here with Mary? She was a woman surprised, and yet she welcomed the messenger of God into her home. This time, an angel. She was doing her daily business and the angel met her and spoke to her. She made room for God. She made room for God. She was willing to do as God had said. She was surprised by God's provision. She didn't ask for a son. She wasn't in the position where she was thinking of a son or a family. Not at that point. She was thinking of marriage. But she hadn't gone beyond marriage to Joseph. But God provided a surprise. Didn't ask for a son, but God said, you will be blessed by a son. So she was blessed by the birth of Jesus, although it was a difficult situation for her. And we can read about the birth of Jesus in the Gospels, but she was blessed by her son. But then of course 33 and a bit years later, Mary herself was a woman bereft at the death of her son. When Jesus hung on that cross and Mary was nearby, she was crying, I'm sure. She was bereft. And again, she may well have been in that position of not only asking why, I don't understand, you know, and I can think back to when that angel came to me 34 years ago and said I was going to have a child, a son, and I named him and I brought him up as best I could, and he's gone and done all these different things and I don't understand, and now he's dead. Why? Could she have walked away? But I think within all of that, she sought God's help. She may well have said why, but she also said thanks, I'm sure. Because then she was part of the group of people that were around when the other Marys and other people went to the tomb. And she was there in the room when Jesus came and presented himself to the disciples. So she sought God, and she was a woman that received her son back from death. Totally different relationship, of course it was. But can you see where my thoughts of prophetic came from? So beyond the prophetic, you can just go to the next slide because that's it. Thank you. But beyond this prophetic of showing the birth of Christ and his death and his resurrection by the power and authority of God alone, there are surely, hopefully, things that we can learn and apply to our own lives. Looking at both women, we can see that they both honoured God, in spite of their surroundings and some in spite of the influences that were going on around them in society. They still made room for God, physically and spiritually. They honoured and they made room for God. They enjoyed the blessings from God and endured suffering, but did not blame God, did not walk away from God. Rather, they ran to God. So, what about you? Are you truly honouring God, showing the fruit of the Spirit through exercising gifts of the Spirit, through discerning those things of God and those people of God, showing hospitality without recompense, trusting God for the future, which may include suffering, it may include healing, but are you trusting God for salvation, to call upon him for new life, resurrected life in Christ Jesus? The woman at Shunem, having held and watched her son die, immediately, as we said, went to Elisha, knowing that as a prophet, he might be able to do something. It would have taken her a good part of the day to meet. It would have taken another good part of the day, if not another day, to get back to Shunem. But she went and spoke to God through Elisha. And God in Elisha responded and went back with the woman to Shunem. And there he performs a type of CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. For the second time that's been noted, last time was in Elijah. But through prayer and CPR, the Lord resuscitated the boy, and the woman gave thanks. So I conclude with these questions. Are you making room for God in your daily life, not just this morning on Sundays? Are you making room for God tomorrow in your life? Are you trusting God through the days of blessings and the days of suffering and pain? Are you continuing to trust God through those days? It's easy, often, to praise God and to sing praises and thanks to God when everything is fine. Although there's a risk that when everything is fine, we forget to worship God and give thanks. But it's much harder when we go on through pain and suffering of whatever level it is. And each of us receive pains and suffering in different aspects of life. But it's through those that we continue to need to run to God and to say, please God, help. Are we trusting God through blessing and suffering? Then are you honouring God in your lifestyle? And I noted there aspects of what perhaps your lifestyle shows about honouring God: hospitality, generosity, the fruit of the gifts of the Spirit. Are they apparent in your lives as you honour God day by day? Have you received CPR? Lateral thinking yet again. Christ's power of renewed life. Have you received Christ's power of renewed life? That you have become new creations through Christ. Because are you trusting Jesus for salvation? The God that brought back that young lad to the shooting woman. The God that brought Jesus back from the dead. Are you trusting him for salvation? That your life, old life, might be dead and buried, but in Christ Jesus, by his Spirit, you are renewed as a new creation. Salvation is available. If we seek God, plead with God, turn to Christ. I hope some of that may just bring something in your minds. Even if it means that you go home and you have that discussion with whoever you're having lunch with. Trying to work out, does that make sense? Is there something for me in that? Is there something for you? To know Christ. To know salvation. To know new life. We may be surprised by what God says to you. May be surprised by what God will do for you. If you make room for him, and then walk in his way, trusting him in all situations. So I pray, Lord, that you will be blessed as indeed you trust and follow Jesus now and tomorrow and in the days ahead. Amen. Thank you.